typically us just break down scripture and we apply it to our lives. I'm sorry I don't have a keynote on the overhead tonight, but I'm actually working on a program that will allow me to do various types of interactions on my screen right here that will show up right there so that I can really emphasize certain points and I can bring out certain details, and then you see it and you get it, live right then and right there. Because it's really important, at least for me, when I'm teaching and I'm talking, not just to blaze through this, but if I have to stop and make a point, if I have to stop and underline something, then you guys can see it, you can get it, and maybe it'll stick in your mind a little bit more permanent, just to remember the word. So we've been in Hebrews. Tonight's going to be a little bit different. I'm using a verse in Hebrews as a foundation point, but I'm going in a topical direction based off of Hebrews 6:1. Now, about 3 weeks ago, I think two or three weeks is the last time I spoke on a Wednesday night, and we broke down Hebrews 6:1, I think 1-3. And we begin to talk about basically what it means or what some of the elementary principles of our faith are. And today I had to go to the hospital in Bakersfield. Lorana, remind me to pray for a couple people after this tonight, okay, please. So I had to go to Bakersfield and had to run some errands. And just driving today, I felt the Lord just drop this topic into my spirit. You know, a lot of times he'll put things in my minds and get me thinking on matter, on verse, on scripture. But then there's times when he just dumps something and it's like, okay, you need to speak this. So I'm going to share a topic with you tonight about leaving the elementary principles or the elementary teachings of our faith. Essentially, what I'm going to talk about tonight is three ways to know what to do or how to make right decisions. Now let me read a verse to you from last time, and then I'll get on the foundation. Bear with me, I'm slow going tonight because I'm wanting this to come out clear. I'm a bit nervous, to be honest with you, because I don't want what I'm sharing to be cluttered or confusing. I want it to come out very clear to you tonight. And in my own mind, I'm wrestling with the clarity factor. So just bear with me, if you would. So Hebrews 6:1, just to remind you, says, therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ. Can you say elementary? All right, these are the beginning foundations of faith in Jesus. Let us go on to perfection, not repeating the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Let's just stop right there. So we specifically see the last thing we talked about and we read in Hebrews that the author was pushing the people that he was connecting to. He was pushing them in a direction beyond the beginning areas of faith. And something that we talk about around here that we have consistently for the past 2 years is progression. Progression, progression, progression. Progression in our faith, progression in our church, progression. God does not, it is not God's will for us to stay at a very linear level with him, but it is his will for us to increase, for us to get more vertical, more vertical, and more vertical. Now, the rate of our vertical increase is different between you and I, right? So I might grow at one rate and you might grow at another rate. That's not the problem. That's not the topic. The point is that we grow. The point is that we progress. The point is that we move forward for multiple benefits. The benefit of our own interaction and relationship with God. Because if we are not progressing upward, then there is going to come issues between us and him. There's going to come a stagnancy, a lack, an inability, a dormancy, even a point to where we don't even hear him any longer. But as long as we keep progressing and keep making choices to go further, then our relationship with him goes deeper, becomes more intimate, we become more blessed, and the promises of God begins to unfold in our life more and more and more. That's only personally, and it's the same way in our church, the same way in our home. But to get off the rabbit trail, I've dealt with people over our years of ministry that feels like they need to hear from God about every choice and about every decision that they need to make in life. They need to hear from God about the color of clothes that they buy. They need to hear from God about what type of car they want to drive. They need to hear from God about the best friend or worst friend. They need to hear from God about this neighborhood or that neighborhood. They need to hear from God about every single aspect of their living. And please understand me, there is specific times and specific positions we find ourselves in where we're trying to make big decisions or even small decisions where, yes, we need to hear from God. But let's just get really real. The real world, in the real world of faith, God does not always directly say yes or no with every situation and every circumstance that we have to make choices within. Does that make sense to everyone? But I've come across people that need that or expect that or want that. And they're in the same position for 5, 10, 20 years. They won't hardly make a decision, big or small, unless they, quote, hear the voice of God. And it just doesn't always work that way. How it typically works is as a good parent, God, because God is a parent, correct? As a good parent, God tries to get us to make sound choices with the resources that he gives us. Let me say that again. As a good parent, as a good dad, God tries to get us to make sound, quality, wise choices with the resources or the experiences that he's allowed to occur in our life. Now, as parents ourselves, one of our goals is to raise up our children to be able to be independent, correct? Raise up our children to be assets to society and not liabilities. To raise up our children to be able to face circumstances and make good decisions. And to be able to raise up our children to where they don't always need mom or dad. Right? I mean, I'll be honest. I don't want my kids always calling me and saying, what do I need to do? Dad, what cereal do I need to eat today? Dad, do I need oatmeal or eggs this morning? Dad, do I need to change the oil in my car? Mom, is this dress too expensive or not? Dad, this guy is doing such and such. Should I stay with him? Right? See, if I don't do my job right, then my children will ask more questions of me than they should. If I don't raise my daughter in a way for her to know if she's being treated right or wrong, then she's going to come to me or her mom and say, this guy is treating me this way. Should I stay or should I leave? Should I stay or should I go now? I forget what song that is, but it's a song. What song is it? I don't know. All right. I'm not confusing anybody, am I? But if I raise my daughter to a point of being independent and being wise and being strong and using the resources that I give her. If some moron is treating her wrong, she doesn't need to come to mom or dad and say, should I leave him? She knows within her heart, she knows within her mind that that guy's a jerk and he needs to hit the highway and just roll on. And if he don't, then daddy will get involved and that's when problems will begin. Amen? So as parents, we try to raise our children to come to this point to be able to make good choices, wise choices, strong choices, without always saying, mom or dad, should I do this or should I do that? And it's the same way with God. Now, please, please hear my heart. My heart with this is for us to progress and for us to become more mature in Christ. And what we do know that there will always be confusing moments, regardless of the circumstance. In the natural, where our children will come to us and say, mom, dad, what should I do? Right? I mean, there's times now, 42 years old, call my dad up and say, dad, I'm facing a big one. I need your opinion. But my dad's raised me and taught me and given me enough resources that I don't have to call him every day, every week, or even every month and ask him questions because he raised me well. He's trained me well. The Bible speaks that if a good father or a good parent would do one thing, then how much more will a heavenly father do better than that? Amen? So we have to come to a conclusion that God gives us resources and God tries to put us in a position to make proper choices, wise choices, and good choices. And we don't have to always sit back and say, well, God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to buy? God, how do you want me to act? Because God won't always respond simply because he expects us at some point in our life to grow up and become men and become women and put away an elementary level of faith and living and operating like a good, righteous man and woman should operate. So there's a place in Scripture, Matthew 25, 14, and 30. Let me go here. I don't know how much of it I'll read. Let me just give you the gist of it. For the kingdom of heaven, can you say the kingdom of heaven? This is really big in this parable because it really shows us the heart of God. It shows us the culture of God's domain, the way God does things. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. In other words, the man gave resources to his servants. To the one he gave five, to another two, to another one. To each of them he gave according to his own ability. So in other words, the one who was given five, he had the ability to handle the resources of five. The one he, and so on down the line. Where am I at? And immediately he went on a journey. So this is a lot of verses. I'm not even going to read it all. I'll tell you what happened. And very popular scripture, so I'm sure you know it. But so the master gave resources to three servants, and as the word says, he immediately left. Now think about this. He gave them the resources based off of their experiences. You don't gain ability without having experiences. Right? So he gave them resources based off of their experiences and what they learned within their experience. It's one thing to have an experience. It's another thing to learn from the experience. A sad case, sometimes it's people re-experience experiences over and over and over again because they didn't learn from the past experience. And God will allow a similar experience to teach the same principle. He will allow us to go through that over and over until we learn it, until we get it, right? So he gave them talents based off of their ability to handle the resources. And then it says he immediately left. He didn't tell them what to do. He left. He didn't say, you spend your resources in this direction. You spend your resources in that direction. You spend your resources in this direction. No. It says he gave it to them based off their abilities, based off of their experiences, and then he left. And there is a kingdom principle to this. And the kingdom principle is we learn from the Word of God. We learn from our experiences in God. We gain his wisdom, his knowledge, and his understanding. And when we find ourselves in a circumstance, in a certain situation, there is times, and it's not every time, but there is times we shouldn't have to just say, okay, God, what do I do? No, we should know what we have to do, and then we just do it. Amen? You take a kid that's playing baseball. They step up to the plate. You don't tell them to swing the bat. They should know, swing the bat. Right? You're playing football, and the quarterback grabs the ball, and he goes to do a handoff to the running back. You don't have to tell the running back, hey, grab the ball and run a certain play. If you have to tell them that, they shouldn't be in that position, right? No, they know what to do because of what they experienced, and what they've experienced has created an ability within them. Sometimes we are waiting for God to tell us exactly what to do. When God is saying, I don't need to tell you what to do. I've already put you through the experience. I've already given you the ability. I've already given you the resources. You're mature enough. You're strong enough. You can handle it. Now just get up and do what you need to do. Amen? You're quiet and I'm a little too loud. So, we come to your paper now. What did Barbara say? You missed my whole first 2 minutes, huh? I gave the explanation. I love you, Barbara. I love you. So you can calm down. You got the right paper. You're not lost. All right. How good is that? All right. So we come to your paper and we come to the title. Three ways to know what to do or how to make the right decision. Excuse me. Am I making sense tonight? You guys hearing and feeling my heart? All right. I'm not wanting to come off hard or condemning or anything like that. My plan was just to kill the rest of chapter 6 in Hebrews tonight, but the Holy Spirit led differently. So in thinking about all this and praying about this, basically what I've here with you, I got to move my hand. Is three specific ways that we can make decisions or we can choose the right direction when it comes to us making big choices. So the first one is real simple. It's wisdom. Wisdom. And we see this being the case really throughout Scripture. Sometimes we don't need to hear God tell us what to do. We just need to look at the matter and figure out what's the right thing to do and do it. Because what is wisdom in a nutshell? I have it as one of your points, and I know my points is totally different. This is not right kind of points, but the second set of dots down there on number one is doing the right thing. Wisdom in its stripped form, when you get to the mechanics of it and the root element of it, wisdom is simply doing the right thing. So we see throughout Scripture, and one book, one pretty large book, has 31 chapters in it, written by the wisest and richest man in the world, is all about wisdom. And in that book, it's all about doing the right thing. It's not an over-spiritual book. I love the book. It's one of my favorites because it's very practical and it's very applicable to life in general. You don't have to be a theologian to understand it. You don't have to get on your hands and knees and seek the Holy Ghost to reveal any secrets about it. It's just so stinking simple. And then we come to James 1:5, and it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. In other words, it doesn't matter your problem, it doesn't matter your issue, it doesn't matter your level of spirituality, that if you ask God for wisdom, that he will provide it. So when it comes to moving beyond the parameter of saying, God, what do I do? The first thing that we need to consider is, what is the wise thing to do? What is the right thing to do? And again, wisdom is also just application of the Bible in our lives. So when we're thinking about, okay, what is the wise thing to do when I'm faced with purchasing this car? What is the wise thing to do when I'm dealing with a relationship that's not the best? What's the wise thing to do when I need to change jobs, or I got to confront a coworker, or my boss is confronting me? What is the wise thing to do when I'm working on my car? What's the wise thing to do when I approach my wife and ask for something? Jim, did you say pray? Lord, change the heart of my wife. No, seriously, what is the wise thing to do? What does the Bible say to do? How does this apply to our lives? And so it's very important to just always start off asking the question, what does the Bible say about this matter? Again, asking yourself the question, what is the right thing to do? A lot of times, just exercising wisdom will give us the answer to so much that we need answers for. Just seeking out the wisdom of God, it will calm so many issues. It will calm so many problems. It teaches us even how to deal with money and finances. It even helps us out when we got a screaming youngin. That doesn't bother us whatsoever. The wisdom is, give it to the other older sibling and send them out with it, because I need a stinking break right now. That's what I would do. I don't trust Koa, though. I give her to Emmy. I got 2 more weeks, and I'm milking that babysitter as much as I can. No, seriously. So let's move on. So the first thing to do, really, about making decisions when we're kind of stepping out and not just waiting to hear God say yay or nay, is asking yourself about the wisdom of the situation. So number two, spirit witness. Now, this one's kind of hard to explain. I'm going to do my best. This is the one that kind of had me concerned. I wanted it to come out clear. So, other words or phrases that describe a spirit witness. Gut check. Everybody know what a gut check is? Sixth sense. Have you ever heard someone say that? Got a sixth sense about that person. An inner release. Anybody ever heard that one? Need to make a choice? And all of a sudden, there's just an inner release. I had a big inner release when I wanted to marry my woman. A big inner release. That's the right one. Anyway, where am I at? A peace that passes all understandings. Right? So essentially what we're talking about is we're talking about living by our spirits. I'm not necessarily talking about living by the Holy Spirit, even though I am. I'm talking about living by our spirit. So we have senses, right? Touch, sight, smell, sound. And so oftentimes we live by these senses. You walk into the house, you smell something good on the stove, you're like, ooh, yeah, got something good to eat tonight. Husbands, your wife comes out of the bedroom all primed and prepped and hot to trot. She walks into the living room and you lay out your eyes upon her, and all of a sudden your eyes are seeing eye candy. Your senses, you're living by your senses. You're excited. You got a hot woman that you're going to take out that night. Right? Senses, living by the senses. If someone came up and punched you, some would punch back. Some would run. Some would pray. You're living by the senses, but we just don't have senses that make us up as beings. We have spirits also. And so we don't just live by senses, we also live by our spirits. So just like our senses things, we can recognize when something is happening in our spirit. Giving a circumstance, giving a choice, giving something maybe that physically or practically you don't understand. So you can be facing a situation and you don't know what to do or what to say, but yet you just get this inner peace. Or maybe you're praying about changing a job and you have two other choices, and one choice, you're like, you know, I just don't feel good about it. It sounds good, it looks good, the money's promising, but, oh, there's just turmoil, or, oh, there's just this misery inside of me. You can't put a sight on it. You can't put a feel on it. You don't hear it. You don't smell it. But just something ain't right. But then you look at the other job, and you're like, you know what? Man, I just have a peace that passes all understandings about that. I can't articulate it, but it just feels right in the gut. It may not even look as good as the other one, but it just feels right, even though it's not a feeling. Am I making sense tonight? See, it's a spiritual sense. We're in the process of buying a home. And so we've been looking and checking and doing things. And there's been some homes that's been really nice. And you'd be like, yeah, that's it. But yet something on the inside is just like, ugh, it just don't work. And then there's other homes you're like, oh, baby, that's mine. But then all of a sudden it's way too high. But the point is that there was a spiritual check. But what is really happening is our spirit, our human spirit, is having an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is becoming a witness. And it's a witness of peace, or it's a witness of chaos. It's a witness of a release, or it's a witness of hold on. It's a witness of this is good,
or it's a witness of this is bad. And so in all reality, that's what's happening. And it's not that the Holy Spirit is saying do this or do that. No, it's the Holy Spirit is creating a witness that should cause us to make the right choice. So let me get to some scripture. I just don't want to talk. I want to get back to some scripture. So John 3:6 says this, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Can you pull that up there real quick? Pull it up there real quick. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. There's a couple of things you have to really recognize here. Number one, we see two types of births. That which is born of the flesh, that's one birth. That which is born of the spirit, that's two births. So births represent ways to live. You cannot live without a birth, right? So when it says here that you are born of the flesh, it means that we live by the flesh. When it says that which is born of the spirit is spirit, it means that we also live by the spirit. So it's given us two ways to be born and two ways to live. You and I live by both. We live by our senses, right? We live by what smells good, by what looks good, by what feels good. But we also live by the Spirit. Now, two other things to recognize here is that we see two types of spirit. You only see one type of flesh, but we see two types of spirit. Can anyone tell me why? Thank you from the teacher. So the flesh, the F's in the flesh is lowercase. Same thing. So I was born of the flesh of my mother, and I'm the flesh of Jonathan Rhodes. So we now we come to the born of the Spirit. The first one, the capital, means the Holy Spirit. So the Bible says that no one can come to God unless the Spirit draweth him. We know that Adam was just a shell of a man until God breathed in him. When he breathed in him, he put his spirit in him, and all of a sudden, Adam became a living man. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, before that, we are dead in spirit. But when Jesus Christ comes in, we are resurrected in spirit, and we become born of the Holy Ghost that comes from Jesus Christ. Woo, I feel the chicken skin on that one. So it teaches us two ways to live. We live by flesh, but we also live by the Spirit. Our spirit connected with the Holy Spirit. So let's go to Romans 8:6. If you can jam that one for me, Eric. Romans 8:6. The Spirit himself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. Okay, my version might be NIV. Are we in the right one? That's a little bit harder to explain. Oh, well. I thought I was in the New King James. I guess I'm not. Anyway, so the version that I pulled this from says, the Spirit himself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. Huh? 8:16. All right, let's go there. No wonder. It does help if you line the numbers right in the Bible. There we go. I was trying to think about how can I explain the difference in that? I was lost for a second. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Okay, so what we have, again, we have two types of spirit. You see the capital spirit, and we see the lowercase spirit. So that's the Holy Spirit and the human spirit. We see that there is we see a function here, and we see an action here. So we see the function of the Holy Spirit. So the New King James Version says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit.
So that is a function. Or the Spirit himself bears witness. That is a function of the Holy Spirit. So a function, a role, a job of the Holy Spirit is that he bears witness. But then the action is the action of that role is he bears witness with our spirit. Am I making sense? So we see the function is the witnessing of the Holy Spirit, and we see the action is the witnessing with our spirits. So when you're trying to make a choice and you're trying to make a decision, and man, you're just not getting it in here. You can't explain it. You can't articulate it. You don't really know why. It might look great on the outside, but you don't have a peace. You don't have a release. You don't have a witness in here. That's the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that the choice is not the right choice. Amen? But when you're about to make a big decision, and man, you just got a release. You got a peace. It just seems right. There is settledness in your soul. All of a sudden, that is, or not all of a sudden, but that is the Spirit of God bearing witness with what's going on in your spirit. And we make choices based off of that. Now, I've been on both sides of the tracks. I've made choices based off the witness of the Spirit, and I've made choices ignoring the witness of the Spirit. And I can honestly say to you, 100% of the time, I regret my choice when I ignore the witness of the Holy Spirit. 100%. 100%. And afterwards, I'm like, Jonathan, you moron. Why did you do it? You knew what you felt. You knew what was going on. But don't we do things anyway because there is a battle between the senses and the spirit? Right? The Bible says there's enmity between the flesh and the spirit. But to put it in just understandable lingo, there is a battle between our five senses and the spirit that is within us. There is times that something that is sensual to us, sensually pleasing to us, causes us to want to have or do something, but the spirit is like, no. But because we know it tastes good, or we know it feels good, or we know it looks good, or we know it seems good, we make a choice to follow the flesh or the senses as opposed to the spirit. And I've done this over and over and over again. And 100% of the time, there was a regret. There was a problem. There was something stupid I had to deal with. Now, thank the Lord, my ignorance in that hasn't had to do with anything major or anything big. Thank God. It's just been stupid things, like maybe what I buy or what I eat or my interactions with people or even an activity that I got into. I told you some of those stupid stories. Selling my truck when I shouldn't have got my truck to buy a Harley. Holy Spirit was saying, don't do that. Anyway. Am I making sense? Ooh, my heart, you guys, is for us to rise to a level in God that we operate off of his wisdom, we operate off of a witness of his spirit, and we operate off of his voice. I can honestly say, since 1995, I've made it a habit in my life to really pay attention to the second thing that we were talking about, the witness of the spirit. I made it, and still to this day, when I'm making choices, when I'm trying to figure out what I should or I shouldn't do, and let's be real, there are some choices in life, it's just like the Bible doesn't give a black or white answer to. Like the Bible gives a black or white answer to the big things, right? But when it comes to the sometimes the details of life, like buying a home, buying a car, I don't necessarily ask God, Lord, tell me what to do. I never do that, to be honest with you. But what I do do is I use wisdom, and then I begin to seek, I begin to search inside and pay attention to what's going on in here. What is the Holy Spirit doing in me? Is there a peace or is there turmoil? Is there a release or is the Holy Spirit saying, hold on, Jonathan? Now let me say this, and I'm about to shut down, okay? Just give me a couple more minutes. Sometimes the Holy Spirit witness might be covered by a cloud of confusion because of what's going on in your senses. Does that make sense? So you can be looking for what the Holy Spirit is witnessing, but in your senses, if you're just like off the charts about buying that new car, if you're just off the charts about changing jobs, if you're just off the charts about what the doctor is saying, so your senses is just like, it's just off the charts. It clouds oftentimes what the witness of the Spirit. So the best thing to do is just kind of slow down, hit the brakes, take a few back steps, allow your senses to calm down. And when your senses begin to calm down, you have more clarity of what the Holy Spirit is bearing witness to in your heart. Am I making sense? We can apply that with anything in our marriages. Getting mad and getting upset and just going off the charts with our verbiage. Wives, sometimes your husband does need to leave. And it's not that he's being a jerk. It's just that he needs to calm down. All right, Gary. I'm sorry. Gary's giving me the hand. But we just need to back up. Our wives, it's important you let your man just back up. Let his senses calm down so that he can become sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Same thing with the wives, husbands. You need to give your wife space. Give her time to articulate. Give her time to get her wits about her. Let her senses, her emotions, calm down so that she can bear witness with what the Holy Spirit is saying. Can I tell you how many times I've taken a step back and the Holy Spirit gave me a thought, and that thought was the exact thing of what maybe was going on between her and I, or what needed to happen, or even in ministry. I went inside this was years ago, I would say 15 years ago. There's a possibility of us taking this church that had some issues. It was a good church, but it came across issues, and some people began to tell me about all the problems, or not the problems, that there was this board member that was just like hell on wheels, that he's horrible. So I was introduced to him that Sunday morning, and I looked at him, shook his hand. I was very cordial, and I just had the thought, no voice from the Lord, just a thought. He's been hurt. That's why he's the way he is. So I took that thought, just kind of tucked it in the back of my mind, but I kept thinking about it. We went out to eat with a family, a few families, and someone brought up that board member that knew him and knew the circumstance, and sure enough, he was hurt. He was broken. Now, by the Holy Spirit dropping that into my spirit, that allowed me to treat him properly. That allowed me to not look at him as some problematic man and be on guard and be defensive and be ready just to butt heads with the dude. No. It allowed me to approach him, to look at him, and to accept him completely different. Why? Because I simply allowed the Spirit to drop a thought that became a witness. And I made a choice based off of that. Right? See, God wants to do wonders in our lives. But before God can do wonders in our lives, we have to be willing to progress to a level and be willing to make choices based off the resources that he's given us. Now, the last thing I said, I'm going to be very fast with this, 1 minute, is the voice of God. A lot of people ask me, how do you know the voice of God? And it's kind of like this. When God speaks, you know it, and or you will know it soon. It's real simple. The Bible says the sheep know my voice. All right? So he speaks to thoughts, dreams, visions, angelic visitations, audibly, through other people. He speaks to the Bible, and there's a whole other list. And all this was done in the New Testament. So, instead of us always trying to figure out what God wants us to do, why don't we take responsibility and use the resources that God has given us and make choices based off wisdom, the witness of the Spirit, and if God just happens to give us a voice, based off of his voice. Amen? Amen. Let's end this in prayer tonight. Well, tell you what. Thank you, dear. So, Gwenda Simpkins, she had 2 stents put in yesterday. So she was in the hospital today. She was given orders to go home today. So we need to pray for that. She has recently been in the hospital and a therapy center for a total of 2 weeks because of some other issues. So we really need the Lord to touch Gwenda's body. Miriam is at home tonight dealing with some physical issues as well. So we need to ask God to touch Miriam's body. Is there, since we're doing this, is there anybody else you would like to say? All righty. Another? All right. If you would, just join hands with someone that's sitting next to you. Heavenly Father, you're a good God, and we trust you. You're a God that desires for us to progress and be able to be individuals that can make sound choices and decisions based off of your word, which is wisdom, based off the witness of your Spirit, and even based off of your voice when you choose to speak to us. But Lord, it's so easy to be sidetracked by what we sense, the 5 senses of our being. And even though that is important, and even though you created these senses, you also created a spirit. So God, I ask that you allow us to balance out the decisions we make and the choices we make, not necessarily just based off of our feelings, but also based off of what's going on in our spirit. And Lord, may we have ears to hear your voice when you do choose to directly and intimately speak to us. Lord, I ask that you touch Gwenda's body, that you cause her to experience a quick recovery, that you raise her up. The infection that is in her foot, you clear it up, and that her blood flows as you created it to, and she's able to function as you've called her to. Lord, we ask that you touch Miriam, that you move in her body, that there is no dizziness, but there is stability, there is strength, and there is function. Lord, we pray for the rotator cuff, the mother that is struggling because of that. Lord, I just ask that you just move in her body. You strengthen that area of her shoulder, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, we praise you, and everyone said, amen. All right, God bless you guys. Love y'all.